Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled Making Benevolent Connections by a Falun DAFA practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 7, 2024. I am 63 years old and I live by myself in Northeast China. I have been practicing Falun DAFA for 27 years. The practice has transformed me from being a selfish, narrow-minded, and jealous woman into one who is tolerant, kind, and considerate of others. In this article, I'd like to share how I have made benevolent connections with people in various situations over the years. Part 1. Tolerance and kindness towards my ex-husband. I divorced my husband 7 years ago. He was working in the South and only returned home once every 1 or 2 months. He had an extramarital affair and got the woman pregnant. When he revealed it to me, he told me that he had suggested an abortion, but she refused. I replied, "That is a life. You should protect it. I won't advise you to get an abortion. If needed, I can raise the child as my own." Despite knowing that the birth of the child would add a burden to our marriage, I told him to take good care of that woman and not to pressure her and let her give birth to the baby. I told him, "I practice Falun DAFA and cultivate kindness. I cherish every life." He was touched and said, "I will live up to your expectations." We did divorce later because of the child. To express his remorse, he intended to give up all of his property. However, when settling matters later, I still gave him a majority of the assets, telling him that as the child was little and the woman didn't have a job, they needed his support. Besides, my ex-husband was about to retire and earning money wasn't as easy as before. Our daughter worked a full-time job and could support herself. The whole process gained respect from my ex-husband's family. His older brother said to me, "I never thought you could handle this matter so nicely. I truly admire you." His sister told me, "My father, referring to my father-in-law, said among all his daughters-in-law, he has the most respect for you." I told them, "It's because I practice Falun DAFA that I can be tolerant and kind. If it were the old me, I wouldn't have handled it so well." Part 2. Getting along well with my stepmother. When my mother passed away at the age of 70, my father was in poor health, suffering from various chronic illnesses. None of us children could take care of him since we were all busy. Thinking of a companion for the rest of his life, my father married someone new, whom I call Aunt Liu. Following Master's teachings and being a good person, I treated Aunt Liu well. During holidays, I would give red envelopes with money inside as gifts to both my father and her. I would buy most of the medicine she and my father needed, as she had heart disease. I would help her with chores whenever I visited them. Every time I left their place, I would make sure to tidy up their house. Aunt Liu said, "You're like my own daughter. Even my daughters couldn't do it better." She talked to me about everything. I introduced to her the beauty of DAFA. She believed what I told her and would frequently recite, "Falun DAFA is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." She would sometimes listen to Master's audio lectures and occasionally do the exercises. However, she lacked perseverance and hasn't truly embraced the cultivation. My father passed away 2 years ago, and a conflict arose over the funeral expenses. My family believed that it should be covered by the funeral allowance from my father's workplace. But Aunt Liu wanted to keep the money for herself. Considering that she didn't have a good salary and no other source of income after my father's passing, I agreed to let her keep the money. I paid for my father's funeral instead and resolved the situation. When her neighbors learned of the matter, they praised my kindness. Later, when I told them about Falun Dafa, they trusted me and quit the Chinese Communist Party CCP and its youth organizations. Part 3. Saving a life is my top priority. Practitioner Ling was arrested and illegally sentenced to 6 years in prison. Her son Yang Yang was 37 at the time, single and couldn't really look after himself. He couldn't hold on to a job, and it seemed that he suffered from depression. Ling's husband passed away 2 years before she was arrested. After Ling was imprisoned, her family fell apart. Her son was not able to cook for himself and would only order takeout. Sometimes I would deliver to him some food I cooked, telling him to study the Fa and take care of himself. I went to visit him during the Chinese New Year holiday and found that he was very skinny and seriously ill. He suffered from leg pain, dizziness, a rapid heartbeat, and bloated stomach. He had difficulty walking and only ate soft food. He said, "Auntie, I can make it on my own. Can you find a practitioner's home for me to stay for some time?" He told me that he had asked his aunt and uncles, but they refused. I explained to him, "It's inconvenient for a grown-up man like you to stay at a practitioner's home because there are ordinary people in most practitioners' families." I suggested that he stay with me because I live alone and I could find other practitioners to help him. Although I said that, I was reluctant to take him to my place. After all, he wasn't a child. He was in his late 30s, and it would bring a lot of inconvenience to my life. But I had no choice, as saving a life is my top priority. During his stay with me, I guided him in studying the Fa, doing the exercises, and looking inward. He realized that he had done many things that were inconsistent with the principles of Dafa over the past 2 years. He kowtowed to Master's portrait to repent and expressed his sincere intention to truly cultivate. At the same time, I tried my best to take care of him, preparing dishes he liked. He had stomach pains and could only eat a little bit at each meal, and had to eat 5 to 6 meals a day. I was really tired, but I knew that saving a life was such a significant matter. The most important thing was to bring him back to Dafa, which is what Master wants. Hardship is part of my cultivation, and I must endure it. Sometimes when I couldn't imagine it all by myself, I would ask other practitioners to help him study the Fa while I was preparing his food. With Master's help, Yang Yang's physical condition went back to normal after a month. He happily exclaimed, "I've come back to life again." Part 4. Assisting practitioners in our Fa study group to improve as one body. There are elderly practitioners in our Fa study group. Some had only completed 3 to 4 years of elementary school, while others had higher education but no experience with computers. In order to improve together, I taught elderly practitioners Ai Ping and Li Hua how to access the Minghui website and read the sharing articles. I also helped practitioners Ai Ping and Wei write their own experience sharing articles. I was happy to help them fulfill their wishes, even though it would take up a lot of my time, and sometimes I would receive complaints from other practitioners. I treated it as part of my cultivation because what I did for them was for the benefit of others, which aligns with the requirements for Dafa cultivators. I downloaded programs from Minghui Radio to TF cards for other practitioners to listen to. They said they could do household chores while listening to the radio programs, which helped save time and enhance their enlightenment and righteous thoughts. Elderly practitioner Bao said, "Last year, I overcame tribulations of COVID-19 by upgrading my xinxin through listening to Minghui Radio. I'm so grateful to you." I replied, "Thank Master. It was Master who arranged for me to help you." Part 5. Forging good relationships with migrant workers. A group of migrant workers came to our neighborhood in the summer of 2016 to install thermal insulation on the exterior of the buildings in our community. This would increase the indoor temperature by about 3 degrees in the winter. The summer weather was very hot, and the workers had to start early and finish late. Some workers were frugal and reluctant to buy bottled water. Seeing this, I brought a thermos of boiled water and placed it outside for them to drink. I hung up plastic bags with paper cups on the thermos, telling them to help themselves. The next day, a worker told me that there was no need to boil hot water, as tap water would be just fine in the hot weather. I said, "Perfect, I have a water purifier, and the water it produces is good. You can drink it directly, and it won't cause stomach problems." One of the workers asked if I followed any belief system. I replied, "Yes, I practice Falun Dafa. It teaches people to be good." I would often go down to chat with them, take the opportunity to clarify the truth, and help them quit the CCP organizations. Many of them had only joined the Youth League, and after learning the truth, they chose to quit. One day, the workers were insulating the walls of my apartment. I opened the window and handed them a cup of water. I chatted with them, expressed my gratitude for their hard work, and shared information about Falun Dafa with them, and they chose to quit the CCP. There was a sudden thunderstorm one day. Two workers asked me if they could climb through my window and exit via my hallway to avoid getting wet, because getting down from the scaffolding would take a while. I let them in, and they repeatedly thanked me. They later told me that other residents didn't allow them to pass through their apartments because they were covered in mud and dust. However, I didn't think about anything else and only hoped they wouldn't get soaked in the heavy rain. Part 6. Relationship with my daughter's mother-in-law. My daughter got married in 2016, and the wedding banquet was organized by the groom's family. My daughter's mother-in-law was concerned that I might have different opinions, so she invited me to participate in the selection and planning. Knowing that their family had financial constraints, I suggested ways to simplify and save money during the process. She was pleased, and even the staff from the wedding company praised me, saying, "You are really nice, always helping them save money." My daughter and her husband wanted to buy a house in the city where they lived 2 years ago. The property prices were around 40,000 to 50,000 yuan per square meter, and the down payment was over 2 million yuan. My daughter's mother-in-law could only contribute 300,000 yuan, and I provided 1.8 million yuan for their down payment. It's a custom now that when children buy a house after marriage, it's a 50-50 split between the two families, as each family has only one child. I told my daughter to be considerate of her mother-in-law, as she earned very little money and our family was in a better financial position. I could contribute more, and I just hoped that the young couple got along well and lived a good life. My house is spacious, and on every Chinese New Year holiday, I would set aside a day to invite my daughter's in-laws over to have a celebration. The three of them enjoyed eating, drinking, and playing mahjong while I cooked for them, and the atmosphere was harmonious. I told them the facts about Dafa before, and they have all quit the CCP. My daughter's mother-in-law is especially supportive of Falun Dafa. Whenever anything happened to my family, she would come to help. When I was arrested and experienced illness karma in March 2023, she came to the hospital and took care of me. People who shared the same hospital room with me commented that we were like sisters. These are some instances in my daily life where I have followed the principles of Falun Dafa. These might be small matters, but they reflect the righteous power of Falun Dafa that has transformed me from being selfish and narrow-minded into a cultivator who is considerate of others.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled, Am I a Genuine Falun Dafa Practitioner? By a Falun Dafa Practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 6, 2024. I seldom write sharing articles. When I glanced down at my notebook today, I suddenly saw these words. Are you a true disciple? I thought perhaps it was a hint for me to not stop writing. But what should I write? Maybe I should start by asking myself, am I a true disciple? Master Li often reminded us to practice true cultivation. Master mentioned this many times in Zhuan Falun. Master said in Lecture 1 of Zhuan Falun, quote, there is a criterion, however, that the life prolonged beyond your predestined time to live is completely reserved for your practice. If your thoughts undergo even a little deviation, your life will be in danger because your lifetime should have been long over. Unquote. In the past 2 years, many local practitioners passed away from sickness karma. One was very good at memorizing Master's teachings, and he was able to recite passages from Master's different lectures. When a practitioner and I went to see him, he was bedridden. He wanted to read the Fa with us, but his home was so filthy that I had to clean it first for him. He was later transformed to a nursing home and passed away. Another practitioner who was always busy helping other practitioners to clarify the truth suddenly died of sickness karma. Even more shocking, his coordinator also passed away recently. Some practitioners were stunned when they heard this. This coordinator was the first person to practice Dafa in our town back in 1996. He introduced Falun Dafa to many people and actively participated in projects to clarify the truth. I consider myself to be a truly cultivating disciple, but I also went through some tests of life and death. On November 30th, 2023, I returned home after distributing truth clarification materials and fell asleep. I dreamed that I was dead and four women were dressing me in burial clothing. I shouted, "This is not what I want. Stop!" I woke up. The next day, after I came home from distributing truth clarification materials, I felt as though the blood vessels in my temples were about to burst. I sat down on the couch and sweat poured down my face. I checked my pulse and it was 121 beats per minute. My mind was clear, though. I would be all right. I began sending righteous thoughts and listened to Dafa music. I gradually relaxed. My heart rate slowed down, and I was able to sleep. On December 21st at 1:45 a.m., I woke up from a nightmare. I was being carried by four people, and funeral music was playing. I turned over and fell asleep. Then around 2 a.m., I dreamed the same people were carrying me out and one of them asked, "Can we carry you out this way?" His face was ashen in color. I said sternly, "Stop, stop right now. It's time for me to do the exercises." When I woke up at 3 a.m., I felt weak, but I did the exercises. I was not frightened by the dream. I endured years of persecution. What could a little nightmare do? I only follow Master's arrangement. Master said in suggestions given at the Beijing Falun Dafa Assistance Meeting, quote, throughout the entire course of your cultivation, there will be the question of how you fundamentally understand the Fa and whether you can be steadfast. You will be tested on whether you are steadfast in the Fa all the way until the last step of your cultivation. Unquote. As a true Dafa disciple, no matter the situation, we must keep up our righteous thoughts so that we will not be taken advantage of by the old forces. We must walk well on the path to divinity until we return, through consummation, with Master.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.